Well, we probably have all heard names like Alexander Duff and William Carey and Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, David Livingston. But then we think, but those guys lived a long time ago. But I want you to know that I believe there are missionaries alive today who are just as great as any of those names I've mentioned. And I don't have the time to go down the list. You've heard some of them already this week. David Edens. I believe David Edens is one of the modern-day great missionaries. Many years unrecognized out in the middle of the Sahara in a little town called Agadez and translated the Bible, does radio broadcasts. I think about men like Rick Martin and over in the Philippines and Don Dryden down in Haiti and Bruce Rice in the Philippines again, Ken Lauman in China, and I could go on and on. Great missionaries, but have you ever thought about what the life of one person can do when they go to some place that's in total darkness? Maybe they've never heard of Christ. Maybe they've never seen a person like you. We stand out. You don't have to usually go try to find a crowd. They find you because you're so different. They wonder why you're there. Let me tell you about one family that impacted their world. Back in 1917, a young American couple, Anton and Viola Anderson, had a burden to go to the south central part of Africa and didn't know anything about it. They were recent Bible college graduates and they had a hard time getting there. The first ship they were supposed to take leaving New York Harbor, they couldn't make it there in time. The ship left without them and it was sunk by the Germans. Some time later, they took another ship. And that ship had 30,000 gallons of gasoline in it. And as they went down the Atlantic, it caught on fire and had to go into port in Brazil and be repaired. But they finally made it to Africa. And in 1920, they made it out in the middle, at that time, was the old Belgian Congo, in the jungle, with its mountains. And they found this village named Chene. At least Anton Anderson found it. And his wife and kids were somewhere else, but he found that village. How they ever got there, I never know because I'll complete this story in just a moment. We actually got to live in that same village years later. But when they arrived there in 1920, they had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. He left his bags and things there with some young teenage guys that later trusted Christ and ended up being preachers and deacons in the churches there. But when Anton Anderson and his wife arrived there, they started to pray and they said, Lord, would you give us 10,000 people to be saved before we go to heaven or you come? Now that's a big prayer. They learned the language and they started preaching and ministering, and the Andersons lived there in that village, in that area, all through the 20s and 30s and 40s. In 1956, he died there. Three of their children died over those years. And if you leave that village and go down the mountain, it's a hike down the mountain, about 2 kilometers. Down at the bottom, there's a little pond where the elephants wallowed out a water hole, and they dammed it up. And in that pond, we baptized and washed clothes and took baths and fished and about everything else. But if you go down that mountain, to even today, there are 4 graves down at the foot of the mountain, that missionary and 3 of their children. But here's what I want you to know. In 1956, when Anton Anderson died, they had gone way over the 10,000 people who had come to know Christ as their Savior. They changed their whole world in that area. His son, Fred Anderson, and missionary Martin Browning and a few other families and a lady, single lady named Martha Kuhnberger. This was in the 1950s, late 50s. Well, in 60, they had a rebellion. They had to flee. They came back to the United States. Their mission only worked in the Congo. They could not return there. And they met with Dr. Lee Robertson and a group of independent Baptist pastors in Chattanooga. And those missionaries were wondering, where can we go now? We can't go back to the Congo. And Dr. Robertson said, it's time for us to embrace the world. And that was the beginning of BIMI 53 years ago to help a small group of missionaries get somewhere else in the world. And from that start, It's grown over the years. But Linda and I had worked for many years up in the desert with, in a Muslim country. And in 1989, we were asked to pray about going back down. It was called Zaire, but to the old Congo. And in 1990, we went and ended up moving back to that village where that missionary found in 1920. I just want to tell you what we found. 30 years, there had been no missionary there. From 1960 to 1990, there was no missionary in that area. And we got to move back there and live in that same village where that missionary started. When we arrived there, let me tell you, the most thrilling thing you've ever seen, in a 50-mile area along this huge river, the Kasai River, there were 12 churches that were still going and thriving that would run 800 or 900 people, 1,000 people every Sunday, many of them. Every one of those churches had 10, 12, 15 village churches in their area. And I just want you to think about this. That was the impact of one family who said, Lord, we'll go where you want us to go. And they changed their world.